Yeah. Okay. Today is Daf Yutes. Again, today is sponsored by Sherry and Barrow Daskal, and we thank you for their continuous contributions and sponsorships. Tana Rabbanan, we're on Yutes Summit based. A few lines from the bottom. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Veshame Omrim, Lo Yimkor Adam Chametzo Linachri. You may not sell your chametz to a guy before Pesach. Ela im kein yodeya sheyichali kodem haPesach. Unless you know that the chametz is going to be disposed of or consumed prior to Pesach, divrei Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, the mitzvah of biur chametz is actually to just get rid of it from the world. It's gotta get rid of it. The Ramban Pesachim points out that's the Rabbanan according to Beis Shammai. Right, so they're not over on the law. But they have a derabbanan that they say they must have it removed from the world. Beis Hillel Omrim calls Mach and Mutala Ochlo so long as it's mutter to eat the chametz, which is, I guess, Dalat Shos, Mutala Machro. Up to that point in time, you are permitted to sell to the guy, even if the chametz is going to stay in the reshus of the guy over Pesach, because according to Beis Hillel, the mitzvah of your chametz is just to get it out of your reshus. So once it's out of your reshus, that is fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, as a machlokas we showed him, whose sheet Rabbi Yehuda is going like, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kuta Chababli. Kuta Chababli was sort of this dip that had stale bread in it, and that wasn't used for, it took a long time to take care of, some sort of condiment with the stale bread. To Kuta Chababli, v'chol mine kutach asur limkor shloshim kodem haPesach, may not be sold to the goy during the 30 days prior to Pesach. Rashi is interesting, he says, shloshim yom, mishim atchilam lidrosh b'hilchot haPesach, chala asharas Pesach alav. 30 days when you can start learning the halachas of Pesach. So sort of a din Pesach is chal on those 30 days, and therefore there's kuta chababli, which is not going to be consumed within the 30 days. You may not sell to the, you know it's not going to be consumed within the 30 days. You may not sell to the guy, those 30 days before Pesach. Fine. Tana Rabbanan, next. Nosnim mizonos lifnei hakele b'chatzer. You're allowed to place food in front of the dog in the chatzer. And Nitalo Biyotza Ainis Kakinlo. And if the dog picks up the food and walks out to the next Rishus, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to stop the dog from walking out. You know, why particularly a dog? The dog, two reasons. One, they said that the dogs in those days were underfed, they were malnourished, and therefore you have to, for Tzar Bal Chaim, you should feed them. Number two is that the dogs get a special dispensation because they kept their mouths quiet during Tzias Mitzrayim. A dog didn't even bark the whole night. So therefore, we have this compassion for the dogs, but we don't have to. What? Huh? Right. Some things, you know, happen way back when, and happen. Keep going. Right. So we're in this calculus. We don't have to stop him from leaving the reshus. Kayotzevo, and similarly, nosnim mizonos lifnei hanachri b'chatzer. You can put mizonos in front of the guy. In the chatzer, so machlokes where they can actually hand it to the guy. It seems here that you're just talking about putting it down in the chatzer, and nitalo, and if he takes the food biyotze and goes outside the chatzer into the other rishus, ain is kakinlo. We don't have to worry about it because we're feeding them. We don't have to worry about them walking out. Tosas points out, nosdim mazonos enough bechatzer. He goes b'shabbes afil lebeishamai, right? The regular ochlo miyad, right? Even according to beishamai, I don't know why you have to worry about beishamai again. Oh, because Bishami says that on your chasam beis that you're not allowed to sell or lend anything to a guy even erev Shabbos unless you can get to his house before Shabbos. In this case, it's different. You can still put the food out there because the regular ochlo miyad, because it's regular for the person to eat the food right in the chatzir. So if the guy picks it up and moves it somewhere else, that's not your concern. V'dafka mizonos, but that's specifically food items. Aval sharcha patzim toso says asurim afilu beis hillel. That's going to be asur even according to beis hillel. The lo shor beis hillel ela be'erev Shabbos, but Shabbos low on Shabbos not. But you can't do anything else. Only the food, which is going to be put, which is most likely going to be eaten in the spot. Mara says, "Vimtom." The Husa says, "Vimtom." But my nosnim is also nachar b'Shabbos. Why? How can you feed a guy on Shabbos? Hakeva, the aim is an oseim alach alecha. Since it's not incumbent upon you to feed them necessarily. Hidamir nachar b'perek beis the beitza. The motzei nisa nachar she'aim is an oseim alecha. It's like a wild animal. You don't have to feed. You don't not comparing. I'm saying the same concept. Is that you don't have, it's not your responsibility to feed them, therefore you can't feed that individual on Shabbos, so therefore it should be usher. So Tosfo says, we'll go further down, V'yesh lomar kemen demefar nesim aniyei nachrim im aniyei Yisroel mishum darkei shalom. A little tough to read. But since because we do provide sustenance and give charity to the aniyei nachrim, just like we do to the Jewish poor, so then mishum darkei shalom, chashiv tzas mizonos of alecha. It's tzas mizon, your responsibility to feed them. Le'inyan iser tareach shvus derabanan. Gabi at shvus, gabi derabanan, we're going to be say that it is mizon asecha, and therefore you can feed them. About le'inyan asiyas malacha, but do an actual malacha for them, like b'yantav, tavi iser daraisa lo chashiv nosa v'lecha. But do a malacha daraisa, for example, cooking for them on yantav, you can cook for Jewish guests, but they cook for a Goyish guest, it's not necessarily your, you're not chayav to feed them. So for daraisa, we won't provide the dispensation. But for this derabanan over here, we will provide the dispensation. So the Gemara asks, Hatu Lamali, why do I need both cases? That I can give it to the problem is that I'm putting the food down in the chatzir, I'm allowing either the dog or the nachri to take the food out. Why do I need both cases? Hainu hach, it's the same din. The Gemara says, Mao de Tema, you would have thought, and this is where Tosos sort of played in, Hai Rami Alai, Vahai Lo Rami Alai. To feed the dog, you have a chiyuv to feed the dog. It's mutal on you to feed the dog. But Vahai Lo Rami Alai, but it's not mutal, it's not incumbent upon the Yisrael to be mefarnes the guy. With Fikach, maybe you wouldn't be able to give the mezonos for Shabbos. So Kamash Malan comes to the Brice to tell you, what's the Kamash Malan? It's a Kamash that's Rami Aleha to feed the guy, or even that it's not Rami Aleha, that you still chayab, you still don't have to worry about it. Or you can say Tosso says, it's not Rami Aleha the same way that the dog is Rami Aleha, but still, there's this concept of Darach HaShalom to feed the Nachri, and therefore you can leave the food out in the Chatzer and put it down. Yeah. Again, the machlokas again also is what can you do? Can you actually feed? Can you actually hand it to the nachri? Can you actually put the food in the dog's paw, I guess, to walk out? It seems like you just have to place it down in the chatzer. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to go deal with dealing with the nachri before Shabbos. Lo yaskir adam kelav lenachri be'erev Shabbos. You may not rent your utensils to a guy for the guy to use on Erev Shabbos. For guy, you can't rent on Erev Shabbos for the guy to use because it looks like you're getting paid. Looks like you're getting paid for. Well, that's what Tosfos says. Looks like you're getting paid for the usage on Shabbos. That you're getting paid the Schar Shabbos essentially, right? But Rabbi Ubi Yom Chamishi Mutar. But on Wednesday or Thursday, and why it has to say Wednesday and Thursday? But before Friday, you're allowed to rent, even if the guy is going to use the kalim on Shabbos. What's going on here? The Tosfos says, Lo Yaskir, the person tells you what you should not be Mefarish. That's because there are those who are, do explain it this way. Ein Lefarish Mishum Shvisas Kalim Uchabe Shamai. You could think that maybe you can't rent out to the guy on Erev Shabbos because he's going to use your Kalim on Shabbos. And we have the concept of Shvisas Kalim. Your Kalim, according to Beit Shammai, your Kalim also are not allowed to work on Shabbos.
Because according to Beit Shammai, they weren't allowed to work even if you did them on Tuesday.
That's the question Tosfos asks. Because he says the imkain afilu b'rivi b'chamishi nami. Even when we went to Thursday, well, that can't be pshat. Ela ke base hillel. We're going according to base hillel. The less lo shvisas kalim. There's no kalim. There's no shvisas kalim here. Or we can talk about a chaluk or a talis. Something that's not a question that it's going to be used. It's just he's using something that's like an article of clothing. The chayotze ben ayri de lo shayak shvisas kalim. There's no concept of shvisas kalim by an article of clothing. He says va'aser. Why? Lefisha nira ken no tel schar Shabbos. It looks like you're getting paid for work on Shabbos. Afapisha maskiro yachad. It doesn't matter. It's Chai Shabbos. That's the problem. So therefore, what happens if you do Wednesday and Thursday? So the concept of Havlah looks like it's all going to be included. It doesn't necessarily look like you're getting paid for the usage on Shabbos. Yet the concept of Havlah, it's all swallowed up with the other days, and therefore it would be mutter. Kayotzebo. Similarly, the Gemara, the Braisa says Kayotzebo. Ein mishalchin igros biyad nachri be'erev Shabbos. We may not send letters in the hands of the guy on Erev Shabbos because it looks like he's your shaliach to deliver it on Shabbos. You know, the whole shaila about using FedEx Saturday delivery. Can you do that? But the revi'u b'chamishi mutter. But if you give him to him on Wednesday or Thursday, it is mutter because you didn't specifically, you weren't mishaliach him to deliver it on Shabbos. You gave it to him on Wednesday or Thursday. Maybe he has more time. So Amru Lav Rav Yossi HaKohen, they said about Rav Yossi HaKohen, Amru Lav, and some say it was said about Amru Rav Yossi HaChassid, Shelo Nimsak Sav Yado V'Yanachim Olam. He never sent a letter in the hands of a guy because he was worried that the guy would deliver it or walk with it on Shabbos. It looks like his shliach. Okay, that's one brisa. The next brisa says, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mishalchani Geras V'Yanachim Erev Shabbos. You may not send a letter in the hands of the guy on Erev Shabbos. Ela Im Kain Kotzitz Lo Damim. Unless you have established a set price for the guy, basically, essentially saying that you tell the delivery boy that I'm giving you your schar, this is what you, if, once you, when you deliver it, this is your payment. So then you're allowed to send it in his hands, even Erev Shabbos, because at that point on, the guy is not b'shlichus Yisrael, the guy is now doing it in order to get his schar. You know, he's saying, okay, if I deliver it, I get paid. So that's why he, so it doesn't look anymore like a shlichus anymore. How people know which one you did it, when you gave it to him, they see him walking with the letter, I'm not sure.
Is this the same place we learn out from that a guy's allowed to turn on the air conditioning for himself in your house if he wants to, since he's benefiting? Is that the same idea concept?
I don't know. I don't know. That's that. I don't know if this is ties into that.
That's
what I just asked.
He's carrying your thing. He's carrying
you know he's carrying your thing.
You know, but
okay, so that's you can't do it. This is talking about Erev Shabbos. We're talking about on Shabbos itself. So we're giving to the guy on Erev Shabbos, and they're talking about Shabbos. So I don't know if it's exactly the same, if it's the same case. So the Braisa continues over here, but Beishamai Omrim, Beishamai say, Kideshi Yagia Lebeso, Beishamai says that you may not send the letter with the guy on Erev Shabbos unless there's enough time for the deliverer to get it to the addressee before Shabbos. So basically, Omrim Kadesh Gila Bais HaSamach L'Chomer. As long as he can enter the city limits, that's okay. So now, we seem to have a problem with the Braisa. Because the Braisa seems to say above, right, the ratio which talks about Katzus Damim, then you have the Sefer which doesn't have anything in Katzus Damim. So the assumption right now is that the second part of the Braisa is also talking about where you cut its Damim. So the Gemara says, Balo Katzus. But you already set the Schar. So therefore, if you set the schar, then the guy is not doing it for Yisrael. He's doing it for the schar. And if that's the case, according to Beis Hillel, it was completely mutter. So why is Beis Hillel now coming over here and saying that he has to reach the outer limits of the city first? We just said katzus, it's mutter. So Amar of Sheshes, or Sheshes says, Hachik Amar, this is the kavan of the Braisa. They have to say this. If the Yisrael was cut, if they set a price already with the Nachri, then he's allowed, according to Beis Hillel, he's allowed to send them no matter what, right? Because the shliach is now doing, he's not a shliach, he's doing it for his own benefit to get paid. But im lo katzatz, Rav Sheshe says, then, so he didn't set the price, so Beishami omrim, achi gila beso. You can give him on Friday so long as there's enough time during the day for him to reach the addressee's house. Well, Beis Hillel say, no, achi gila beso samal koma. He doesn't have to go that far, he just has to get to the outer walls of the city. That's sufficient. But according to Beis Hillel, if you were katzatz, then it's mutter b'cholinim. The Gemara says, wait a second. B'ha'amarta reisha, but you said in the reisha, ein mishalchin. Right? The reisha, the Braisa says, ein mishalchin igeres biyad nachri, right? Ela im kein kotzitz lo damim, right? So that's mashma from here. That's mashma from here that if he can, that if the shliach can get, that's mashma that only if you're katzitz. But if you weren't katzatz, it says ein mishalchin, meaning the only time you can send it is if you set this price. If you didn't set the price, you can't. We just said if you didn't set the price, there's a machlokes Beishami's Hillel about when you can go. The price seems to indicate that if you don't set the price, you can't do it at all. So the Gemara says lo kasha. There's no difficulty. Ha, it make a difference between a ratio and a sefer. Ha, the kviya be dava b'mata. Ha, the lo kviya be dava b'mata. It depends whether or not. Machlokas had to explain this, whether this means the postmaster or this means the person in charge of the city. But the Seifa is talking about the Seifa, which says that you're allowed to send, both talk about without katzatz. The Seifa, which says that you're allowed to send it to a Nachri on Erev Shabbos, with the Nachri on Erev Shabbos, even without katzatz. And as a Machlokas, whether he can reach the house or he can reach the city limits, it's to Gevia Beidavar B'mata, where the Shalit, which is the. What? Right, well, so machlokas, what it means. Does it mean the postmaster, or does it mean the shalit? Talking about whether the shalit is kaviya b'dadavar, meaning, and other rishonim say, you can learn that whether the addressee is kavua in that city. The addressee is kavua in that city. So then if he lives in that city, then you can send it, you have this machlokas without, between Beishai and Beishami. But the Rish says that you're not allowed to send the Yigeres b'yad nachri b'shabbos if you weren't katzatz. That's talking about the case, the lo kaviya b'dadavar b'masa. That's where the shalit, or the postmaster doesn't live in that city. Sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not there. Then you may have a problem. Then you may have a problem of finding him. I guess you may have a problem of finding him. Rashi says, Shchiach Doar. Rashi says Doar is Shilton Eir. the low regular shlochi regross. So for him, that's who they used to send the letters to. Yes, that means anyone who's sitting or who's in the city. So shchicha b'mata, if he's shchicha there, mishalchim below kitzitz, Rashi says, then you can send him below without sending the price. B'chtei sheikir hashaliach l'mar l'beis hadohar l'mar l'beis samachomer. According to Beis Shammai, as long as he can get to the address of his house. According to Beis Hillel, as long as he can get to the wall. And v'resha, the resha, the aim mishalchim below kitzitz klal, that's the lokaviyah b'mata, where the guy's nakav over there. And if you're not going to find him, he had lech achar b'shabbos. The guys are going to go all over the place looking for him. But so therefore, you know, if he's nice, he's not kavu in the city, you may not find him in the house. Or if you drop him off at the postmaster may say, well, I don't know where he is right now. He's going to be looking for him all over Shabbos. Fine. Well, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know how the Maisa, how that translates in using the mail services on Shabbos. You know, sending a letter on Friday. I don't know how that necessarily works. I know it was a bigger issue, like I said before, of sending on Friday for Saturday delivery. Because then your bedafka is saying that it has to go on Shabbos.
If it's for your obligation, even if it's for Sunday delivery, Monday, you're still going to be working on.
Right, but then you're not.
On Shabbos.
But who says? Maybe he can get it there. Maybe he can get it there without using it on Shabbos. Maybe he just waits Saturday night. I mean, I don't know. Then it's up to FedEx to determine when they use it. I don't know. Okay. Now we're going to talk about going on a trip. Going on a trip on Erev Shabbos. So Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mafligin B'Svina. You may not go out. Less than Mafligin is the door haplaga, right? I don't know. The door haplaga means they were separated, dispersed. You may not disperse yourself on a trip. Ein Mafligin B'Svina Pachos Mishlosha Yom Kodem Shabbos. Less than 3 days before Shabbos. Machlokas whether that means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, that means Thursday, Friday, and you have the 3 days including Shabbos, and therefore it would be Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. So Melchizedek, whether you can't leave on Wednesday, you'll leave on Thursday. But Medvar Memurim, when do we say that you're not allowed to go? That's Ledvar Rishus. It's only if you're going on a cruise. But, Aval Ledvar Mitzvah, Shapir Dami. When it comes to doing a mitzvah, you can even go on Erev Shabbos. You can go right away, because you have this mitzvah to go. And therefore you can be Dokum. We have to see that we have six interpretations as to what the problem is by going out on 3 days before, or people say Wednesday, by going out by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, before Shabbos on a trip. But what you have to do, but posik imo, the Yisrael has to make a tanai with the captain, right, almanas lishbos, that you tell him that I'm coming on this boat on condition that you don't do, that you stop the boat on Shabbos. And if if in the end the captain does not stop the ship, there's no problem. Then it's not a problem. You have to make that condition. You don't have to make this condition at all, and you can just go on. If you're allowed to go on the boat, you're allowed to go on the boat. And then the Gemara says, min Tsur litzidon, to go on the boat, to go from the city of Tsur to the city of Tzidon, even Erev Shabbos Mutter, because it's less than a day trip. You can go back and forth, that's fine. So I guess you can leave. You can drive from here to Teaneck if you want on Erev Shabbos, because, well, depending on the traffic patterns, but you can draw, because usually you can get there in time for Shabbos. Again, if you leave too late, then the bus can get stuck on the way down to Lakewood, and you can have a problem. So you have to be careful that you leave yourself enough time when you travel on Shabbos. But what's the problem? What's the problem? Why Eimaf Ligim Esmina Pachu Shloshim Kodem Yom Shabbos? Okay, so the Rif brings down the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, and Rabbeinu Chananel says that the time is because of a Tchumen issue, because the boat is. You know, skidding on the seabed, and therefore you're going to be leaving the tchum on Shabbos. So Rip says, and if the Rip says, well, that's the case. Well, if you're floating in the water and you're 10 tefachim above, then you don't have a problem. Also, then what's the difference between Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday? If it's a tchum issue, it's a tchum issue. So what's the difference? So the Rif rejects the Rabbeinu Chananel, and he brings his own parish. The Rif's parish is that you're not allowed to go because of bittul mitzvahs onik Shabbos. People are usually seasick for 3 days. They're not going to have, if they go beforehand, they're going to be sick on Shabbos, they're going to be vatal mitzvah onik Shabbos. Therefore, if there's a mitzvah, so the mitzvah, right, the osik mitzvah is part of the mitzvah, so you osik in the mitzvah, wherever you're going to do, that patches you from the mitzvah of onik Shabbos. That is the second parish. The third parish is from the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says that you may not put yourself in a position whereby you are going to have to, there's going to be pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, and you're going to violate Shabbos. So by going on Thursday, Friday, or Shabbos, so they're already connected to the next Shabbos. So therefore, it says, if you put yourself in a position...
Why should we have more than a regular day?
What do you mean?
That's
a good question.
Dangerous about
that's just putting yourself in a dangerous situation. Here, it's you're going to put in a dangerous situation and violate Shabbos. But why is that
taking a dangerous situation?
He's saying it's a sakana, because it's a sakana, you're gonna have to violate, it's a pikuach nefesh, you're gonna have to violate Shabbos because of pikuach nefesh.
So,
well, how can
I get, can
I don't know. Why ask me?
Again, well, it comes back to the same thing. So, what makes a difference what day you leave? If you're on the boat,
no. So the Ba'amor says, though, because before it depends on which part of the week you go, because different parts of the week are connected to different Shabbosim. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or is connected to the previous Shabbos. So, I'm technically not putting myself in the position for the following Shabbos. It's a lum de Shavuot. But if I go on Thursday, Friday, it's connected to the following Shabbos. So, therefore, it's not considered putting yourself in position to violate this Shabbos. It's because he says where you connect the day to.
Why are you going to be? Are you going to be on the boat on Shabbos?
That's not the Baal Mor. The Baal Mor says because you're not violating Shabbos now. You're not violating Shabbos now. You're going to be in a position on Shabbos to violate.
Right.
So the Baal Mor explains that the first 3 days of the week are connected to the previous Shabbos. So you're not going to be in a position to violate Shabbos. It doesn't count.
Got a boat for 2 weeks.
Right.
So why isn't Tchum an issue at all? It should be an issue.
Because the tenth Tchum only behind the tenth Tvachim. Tenth Tvachim above the ground. Same idea of the Rosh Hashanah. It's only 10 tefachim above the ground. If you're above up to 10 tefachim, above 10 tefachim, there's no issue. The tchum doesn't grab. If we can figure out a way, yeah, you take the boat. You can take the boat. Baal Mor is difficult. The fourth shita is the shita of Tosos because he says it's a problem of swimming. Some issue of swimming. The fifth shita is the Rashbam that's brought down Tosos and Eruvin. He says that this sugya is going according to the shita of Beis Shammai. It's talking about that you're not allowed to, you can't do malacha before Shabbos. That's not gonna be finished by Shabbos, and therefore they don't allow you to go on the Sfin before Shabbos. But that's fine. And according to the Ramban, the Ramban is brought in the Ritva. He says that there is no real iser to go on the Sfin of Shabbos, but our sugya is dealing with the case where most of the people on the boat are Yisraelim, and therefore they're going to be doing malacha, a lot of malachas for the Jews on Shabbos. That's why they can't go on Erev Shabbos, except for Dvar Mitzvah. I don't understand why. Still understand on most of them why there's a difference between Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Why is the difference between Wednesday and Friday? Still understand what a lot of them are, what the difference is.
Well, it makes sense if the one that's on Shabbos.
Right, it's the riff.
Right. According to that, you know, people many times they go to surgery.
Right.
On Friday.
So Rav Moshe says you shouldn't have.
Just the opposite.
Right. Rav Moshe says you shouldn't have elective. It's worked out that you should have elective surgery should not be had 3 days before Shabbos. According to the Rif, because according to all of them, but definitely according to the Rif, because you're going to ruin your own Shabbos. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Ein Tsarin. This is interesting. You put around the city. Ein Tsarin al ha'arayos shel nachrim pochos mishlosha yom kodim Shabbos. You can't make a siege around the city. A guy said he 3 days before Shabbos. Again, the same issue over here. What's the reason? The riff makes sense now, I guess, because of Oneg Shabbos. But if you began the siege around the city, ein mafsikin. You don't have to stop. Okay, this is talking about a Mechemes Rishus. A Mechemes Mitzvah, you'd have the Mitzvah probably, and it would be a different story. V'chein haya Shammai Omer, and Shammai used to also say, Pasuk would be, Pasuk in the Orim, it says, V'anisa matzor al-i'ir asher hi osa in chamil chama ad ridita, which if we do it, you do it all the time, afilu b'Shabbos. You're allowed to continue doing it on Shabbos, but you don't have to stop the battle on Shabbos. And that's, to me, I think that's ridiculous. We'll start the war, and we have the, if you leave the Mechemes Rishus, so we say, okay, time out. You don't do time out during war. Doesn't necessarily work that way. All right. So, Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel brought in the Mishnah, the minhag of the Beis Nasi, that no Yom Hayu, that they would put this, that they would send the Kli Lavan to the dry cleaner, but only 3 days before Shabbos. They went to, the white clothing would only go 3 days before Shabbos to the cleaner. So Tanya, you're going to write some Rabbitzadah, Kachayim and Hagoshel based Rabban Gamliel. This was the minhag of the house of Rabban Gamliel. Shayenosnin Kli Lavan Lakoves, they would give white clothing to the Goyisha dry cleaner, Shlosha Yom Kodim Shabbos. Only 3 days before Shabbos, I guess it took a long time. It was a more difficult task to clean the white clothing. So they were machmir like Beis Shammai, that they wouldn't send it unless it was 3 days before. How can you be machmir like Beis Shammai? Didn't we say like, what's that, Brachos? Maybe Tarfon tried to be machmir like Beis Shammai, and he almost got run over, and they said, good thing you almost got run over, you deserved it because you held like Beis Shammai. Right? And the word, so over here,
he laid down,
he ignored Beis Hillel. You can't ignore Beis Hillel.
Right.
Okay. Okay. And then uvitzvuyim, when it came to colored clothing, afilu be'erev Shabbos, they would give it to the cleaner even on erev Shabbos. Umidivreim lamadu, from their words we see, or from their actions we should say, it should be. It's more difficult to clean the white clothing more than the colored clothing. So now we have a maisa regarding this. Abaye would gave this certain colored garment, like tzara, to the cleaner. Amrale, so Abaye says to the cleaner, Kama bais ilave, well, how much do I owe you? So Amrale, kid dichivarya, you owe me the same amount it would be if you give me a white article of clothing. So Abaye says, no, that can't be. You're cheating me out. Amrale, kvar kadmucha rabbanan. Rabbanan already, they preceded you to teach us that cleaning a white clothing is much more expensive. So if I gave you colored clothing, you can't tell me it's the same price as the white clothing, because it's definitely a lower price. Amar Abaye, Hayman, now we're talking about more about going to the cleaners. Hayman di yoiv mona lekatsara. So someone who gave his clothing to the cleaners, the mashka nasivle, he should measure it when he gives it in. Ubi mashka nishkul minei. And when he come and when he and take it and measure it again when he weigh it again. Weigh it when he gives it in and weigh it when it comes back. The itve, because if it's larger than when he gave it in, absolutely the matke, he must have stretched it out to measure it. He stretched it out. The butzir, and if it's smaller, then he shrunk it. Asadid the kavatse. It must be that the kovitz was shrunk it, and again, then you have to take him to small claims court and deal with the disclaimer that you have on the side at the back of the ticket when you give to the cleaners. Bishavin, and both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agreed. Even Beis Shammai agreed that you allow chitonim koris beis abav gliyagash. You could put this sort of, you know, continue the process of squeezing out the olives and the grapes by this, you know, this big board or rod or something like that went on top of the press. So Bar asks, why here does Beis Shammai allow it? Everywhere else Beis Shammai didn't allow it, and here he does allow you to leave it. You leave a malacha be going through Shabbos. So Maishna Kulu the Gazer Behu Beis Shammai. Gazer was a difficult lesson also, because Gazer Beis Shammai is mashma that it's because it's only gzera, but we explained Beis Shammai is that it's because of the oraisa is a kind of the shvisas kelim. So what's Gazer? So I mean, so it actually comes out the Tosos on Daf Yud Ches, who proves from this Gemara that according to Beis Shammai it's only the Rabbanon, because that's why they use the lashon of Gazer. Others say no, Gazer maybe, and we've seen other places where it's a gzera d'oraisa. The Torah is goes there on your shvisas kelim, lest you come and violate Shabbos yourself. So even is min Torah, but the lashon of Gazer itself, you know, has people, you know, worried about it. So mashna kul the Gazer beis Shammai, umashna koros beis Habad the Guli Hagat the lo Gazer. Why in this case did they not make a gzera? And they said you're allowed to start the malacha before Shabbos. So the answer is going to be because for some reason in this last case, even if you did it yourself on Shabbos, you would be chayav v'chatos. It's not a complete violation of Shabbos. Hanach, the melachos that are mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, di avid luhu b'Shabbos mechayav v'chatos. Had you done them on Shabbos, you'd be chayav v'chatos. So therefore, gazru behu beis Shammai. So gazru beis Shammai erev Shabbos im chashecha. Why chashecha? I don't know. If you're only allowed to do it on chashecha, beis Shammai says you can't have start a melacha before Shabbos and continues on Shabbos. Doesn't matter if you did it at 12 o'clock, or you did it right before left benching. I don't know what the lashon of chashecha means. But koros beis habad v'igulei hagas di avid luhu b'Shabbos lo mechayev chatas. Had you done it before Shabbos, you'd be chayev chatas. The lo gazer. They didn't make a gzera. So why not? Why would you violate? They bring down because even those squeezing out zesim and anavim are a violation of an av malacha. It's a violation of dash. We'll see on daf kuf mem gimel. But that's only if you didn't sort of press them or pulverize them in advance. But if you did the first step, we're going to see that there are three steps in crushing. If you did step one of crushing, so then it's going to continue to ooze out the entire time. So if you then start to step two by putting the beam on top of it, you're sort of accelerating the process, but the process would have happened in and of by itself. So just by accelerating the process, that's not going to be malacha d'oraisa. So Beis Shammai say, this is talking about where you sort of pulverize them to begin with, and now you're just continuing the process. So therefore, that won't be a violation of Shabbos even if you did it by yourself. So you're allowed to do it on erev Shabbos also. So the Gemara asks, so who's the Tana who holds that something that's going to happen mimela, you're allowed to do on Shabbos? Who says that that's mutter to begin with? Maybe if you accelerate the process, that's also a violation. It's a machlokas. So man Tana the whole mida asked mimela shaper dami. Who holds that anything that's happened in and of by itself, it's mutter? So Amrav Yosi b'Rebbe Chanina. Rabbi Shmuel, it's going according to the Shita Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanan. We have a Mishnah in Adius Hashum, which means garlic, the Haboser, and these sort of unripe or not completely grown grapes, Mahamililos, and also I think it's some sort of stalks that aren't completely grown, Sherisgon bim Odyom, that you kind of pulverize them, or you pulverize them on Erev Shabbos, bim Odyom, and now you want to put the board on top of it in Kanisha Shabbos to continue them drawing out what's inside. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yigmor Misha Techshach. It's no problem. Put the board on top of it and let it continue even after it gets dark. At least that's our Mishnah. That's what Beisham is holding like. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Omer Kiva says, no, lo Yigmor, you're not allowed to do that because you cannot, it doesn't, Rashi says, Aslan Yichim Objom Tachas Kodom, Kodom, Yigmor Misha Techshach. You may not complete the Malacha after it gets dark. So that story goes according to the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. However, so you learn from Rabbi Shmuel that if you squeeze on Shabbos this Boser, you're not chayiv chatas because you're ready for reset. You're ready to do the first step in advance of Shabbos. And that's why Beis Shammai says, in our case, you can put the korah on the grapes as well because you already started the process before Shabbos. It's going to continue mimela on Erev Shabbos. It's going to continue mimela on Shabbos, but you can accelerate the process by putting the beam on top. Now step one was we said now that Beis Shammai goes like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Lazar says that Amar Rabbi. Rabbi Lazar, which is Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, says that Beis Shammai is going according to the Shita of Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. So not like Rabbi Shmuel, he's going like a different, like Rabbi Lazar. Ditznan, we have them following the Mishnah, again on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, Chalos Tvash, which I think means honeycombs. Sheriskan be'erev Shabbos, again, you sort of press them on Erev Shabbos. The Yotzume Atzman, and now the honey is sort of oozing out by itself. It's usher. You may not eat this dvash on Shabbos because you have a chash that maybe you're going to squeeze him with your own hands, and so therefore you have a takana. But you only make a takana if what you're worried about is an issa d'oraisa. So if squeezing it out the honey with your own hands, then according to the Tanakam, would be a d'oraisa. For Rav Elazar Matir, Rav says no, you're allowed to eat this the honey that's oozing out, that because even if I would squeeze them with my own hands on Shabbos, I'd be mutter. Why? Because I started the process on Erev Shabbos. That's Beis Shammai's shita. Going according to Beis Shammai. So now the Gemara is going to ask, okay, so why do you say it's like Rabbi Shmuel, or why do you say it's Rabbi Lazar? Why you have two Tanayim that seem to indicate the same shita of Beis Shammai, and I don't understand what the whole problem to begin with is. You have to find Tanayim who hold this. Beis Shammai is Tanayim himself. And why do you have to go find who Beis Shammai is holding like?
Isn't it Achila and Miyad? What's the problem?
What do you mean?
You're doing it now, you're eating it now.
I don't think this is Borier. It's more of an issue of dust, so I don't know what the rules are. It may not be, you think Biyad, Miyad, and Liyad?
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe not. Maybe you're squeezing it out and you're putting it in a bowl for later. Or maybe it's dust, and dust is different. I don't think it's Borier. I think it's dust. Because you're pulling it out from its source. It's not necessarily a mixture. It's like separating the what?
Squeezing it out.
Squeezing it out, which is dust. I just don't understand why we have to go find who Beis Shammai is holding like. Isn't Beis Shammai, authoritative enough to hold whatever it holds? It's a Tana, right? What does Beis Shammai have to hold like Rabbi Shmuel, who actually came after Beis Shammai? So I don't know. I don't understand that. Okay. So you see from here that according to one answer, right, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Beis Shammai, the Shita is like Rabbi Shmuel, and according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Pedas, it's like Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, who says that our Mishnah is like Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, my time alo Amar ke Rabbi Lazar. Why didn't he hold like Rabbi? Why didn't he say it goes like Rabbi Lazar? Why does he bring the honeycomb case? So Amar Lach, he's going to say to you, I can't prove from Rabbi Lazar that he holds like our Mishnah because it's possible that Hassam by the honeycombs, who that's where he's matir it, right? Mikara ochel basov ochel should be ochel. It should probably be mashke. It's a mashke beforehand and it's a mashke afterwards. What is that? Basically, what it means is that when you start, when the honey is in the comb to begin with, it's already a food item. It's already a food item. And even when it comes out, it has the same shame ochel on it. Therefore, it's exact same. It's the same item inside and outside. I better probably say mashke, it's not ochel. But it's therefore when he might hold that if you squeeze it out on Shabbos by itself, there's no issa d'oraisa. Because shchita is you're not allowed to pull out ochel from, it's not an issue of pulling ochel from ochel, it's changing like a mashke from an ochel, squeezing something, the liquid out of the ochel. Here it's the same thing, what you're squeezing out is what's inside to begin with. Squeezing a grape, you have a grape and you're squeezing the juice out of the grape. Here you're not squeezing it out of the grape. So maybe over there he says it's mutter, it's on Shabbos, so I won't have to make a gzera. But hachab, in our case, by the olives and the grapes, meikara ochel v'hashna mashka. Originally it's a grape, and now it's a liquid when it comes out. So maybe it's a different case. Therefore, maybe he only was matred over there because it's mashka and the mashka, but not because of my theory. Therefore, I'll have to bring the case of Rabbi Yishmael to prove that he holds like our Mishnah. For Elazar Amalach, and he'll answer, Hashar Minale. I don't have a problem with that because I already have a brisa that Rabbi Elazar, Afilos Esav Navi Naimi Shari. You're not going to make that mistake because Rabbi Elazar has a further brisa where he allows you to squeeze it out even grapes and olives. Once you start the process on Erev Shabbos, the Haki Asar Boshia Minarda, Asar Isaim Asnis Nabi Adei, but he came with his brisa in his hand and it says, Esav Navi Shariskam Erev Shabbos, Vyatsum Atsum Asurim Rabbi Elazar Rishim Matirin. He says these olives and these grapes, which you already began the process of pressing them on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to continue the process on that, put the boards on them on Shabbos because you already started it. Even by, you're not allowed to do that, says the Tanakam. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon say you're allowed. So you see, Rav Elazar doesn't hold that the reason is because it's an ochel to start an ochel afterwards. Because you're allowed to do it once you start the malacha, you're allowed to continue, you're allowed to accelerate it. So, okay, that's the case. Right. Therefore, why? Because the chash is. The chash is because maybe you'll squeeze them with your hands on Shabbos. You only make a takana if what you're worried about is a d'oraisa. Rabbi Elazar says it's mutter. You're allowed to eat those the liquid that comes out because even if you would have done it biyad by yourself, it would not be an issur d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, well, then why doesn't Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina say that our mission is like Rabbi Elazar if he had this preferred brisa? Well, he didn't have the brisa. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina brisa lo shami lahui. He didn't have this brisa. He never heard of it. So therefore, he's worried that maybe his shita is because it's an ochel to begin with and ochel to end with, and it's not applicable to our Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, my time will all become Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. So Rabbi Elazar, who says that the shita goes like Rabbi Elazar, why does he say he goes like Rabbi Yishmael, like Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina said? So Amar Lach, so Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas says, Lav Itmar La, didn't we already say in the base measures regarding the machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva, Amar Rava bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'mechisurin dicha, so make a big assumption. Again, I mentioned before that there are three steps in the squeezing. So I guess he's going to say that our Mishnah, if chule amelo pligi, there's no machlokas, meaning even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that it's usher on Shabbos to put the korer on top if you didn't do step one and two. If you only did one step, that's not enough. But keep pligi b'mechusim sechika. But they only argue if you did steps one and step two, and putting the board on top of the grapes is going to be step three. And our Bahani Nami and the Eitzim and the Zesim and the Anavim that we're talking about is Kimesuch Mechusarim Dicha Damu. Our Mishnah is talking about we're even missing step two. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel would agree that that's Usser. So you can't say Rabbi Shmuel is like our Mishnah, because he would say our Mishnah would be Usser. How they know that our Mishnah is talking about this? It's missing step two and three, as opposed to, I mean, I don't know how you know, it doesn't say anything with the Mishnah, what we're talking about. But I guess you may have thought that that's the case of a Mishnah, therefore Rabbi Shmuel is not talking about our case. At the end, Hora Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Yossi Chanina, Halach Lemaisa, held like Rabbi Shmuel, who says that you're allowed to put, against Rabbi Kiva, that you're allowed to put the Korah on Erev Shabbos on the Boser and on the garlic. Again, if you started the process with Ojom, you can continue the process during the day. Okay, now the Gemara has a few muksa cases. Shemen shel badadin, umachatalo shel badadin, rav asar, shmol shari. So the oil that's left in the corners of the Beis Avad under the beams, and that's usually given to the owner of the Beis Avad as their payment, umachatalo shel badadin. I think these are also the covers that they would cover the owls with. What? The mats that they were used to cover. So they machlokas whether those are muksa on Shabbos or not. Rav Asar, Shmuel Shari. Rav says it's Asar, and Shmuel says it's mutter, it's not muksa. Additionally, Hani Krachi Zuzi. These are the the mats that they would cover the wares on the ship. Right? I guess Rav Asar says you're not allowed to use them on Shabbos because they're muksa. They're set aside to be used for this purpose. Vishmuel Shari, and Shmuel says they are mutter. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says as follows: Eiz lechalava. So I have a goat that's specifically being to be used to give milk, not for shechita. V'rachel legizasa, and that's the sheep that you're going to use it for its wool. V'tarnegolas lechaveitzasa, and a chicken that's only used for its eggs. V'sorei deridya, and these oxen that are used to plow. V'tamri deiska, and these dates that are not going to be used to eaten, but they're put aside for some business purposes. Rav Asar, Rav says you're not allowed to use them on Shabbos or Yontif because they are mutter. Because since you're not allowed to shecht on Yontif, you're not allowed to shear on Yontif, you're not allowed to do any of these things on Yontif or Shabbos, so these things are muksa, right? Therefore, he says that you can, right, they're muksa. But Shmuel Amar mutter. And Shmuel says they're mutter. They're not necessarily muksa in here. They're not that he says that there is no muksa. It's a lower level of stringency when it comes to muksa. The kamiflagi bepulukta de Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel is the same machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That's the machlokas that we'll see on Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis Lagabi the din of muksa. Rabbi Yehuda is much more machmir with these dinim, and he says that anything that is set aside for a specific purpose, that's muksa for Shabbos. That's what Rav says. That's what Rav says. It's set aside for a specific purpose on Shabbos. It's muksa. Rabbi Shimon is more makeh when it comes to muksa, and he says anything that's roi to be used on Shabbos, the person doesn't set away his mind from it, and therefore, even if it's supposed to be, I set it aside for use is A, but it could be used for use B, which would be mutter on Shabbos. That's not going to be considered muksa according to Rav Shimon. So in these cases, I guess, let's say for the dates, it's the easy one. I set it aside to use chora. I could theoretically eat them on Shabbos, so therefore, according to Rav Shimon, they are not muksa. Hahu Talmida. There was this Talmud, the Orei v'charta de Argis, who paskin in the city of Charta de Argis, right? The name of the city is Charta, right? It's brought down here from that. What was Rashi say? Charta, Rashi says, like the third white line. Charta is Shem Makom. De Argis is Adam Echad Haya Amagushi Shabana Lo Oso Ir. Amagushi, I think, means some sort of kishuf, no? This guy, he's the guy who built the city. The Rav Hamnuna Darba, Rav Hamnuna lived there. V'dayim ma'aris k'rosu kayem esham. His burial plot is already there. Okay, so that's the name of the city. So in this town of Charta, this Talmud paskin like Rav Shimon, the lower less stringent approach to muksa. And what happened? Shamte Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna put this Talmud in Chayim. Wait a second. V'ak Rav Shimon's feeling. Why are you putting him in Chayim? He's passing like Rav Shimon. What's the big deal? Gemara says no, because the Asri de Rav Havi. This city of Charta was in the sphere of influence of Rav. Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda, right? And Lo Yibayli Lemebid Hachi. This Talmud should not have passed in like Shmuel in an area of influence of, I mean, I guess it's like passing like whatever, I'm not gonna say. Like passing like one town in the town where it's not the, it's not just sphere of influence. I guess even later, I guess historically, even later than Rav Shmuel, that he had still the impact of Surah Pupadisya still applied. And in towns where it had the influence of Rav, you had a pasuk like Rav. Towns under the influence of Shmuel had a pasuk like Shmuel. And this Talmud paskened like not like Rav in his town. Okay, now the Gemara is bringing another case regarding two Talmidim. Hani Trei Talmide. We have a Maisa of two Talmidim. Now their machlok is going to be in how you are permitted to pull out food and drink from a house that's on fire on Shabbos into the chutzah. Right? That's the machlokas. Okay, you have to do a little hagdama because it's the Gemara daf kuf chaf even later. Okay, so there the Mishnah says that you're allowed to save from the fire a sal mali kikaros. You're allowed to say a basket filled with bread, even if it has a lot of even if it has enough food for like 100 sudos. So Gemara says there. But don't we say on Daf Kuf Zayin that you're only allowed to pull out kidei mazon shalosh sudos? You're only allowed to pull out 3 meals worth. How you bring out 100 pieces of bread here? There's a machlokas and how to answer the question. Rav Huna says that our Mishnah is talking about where you did it with a bunch of kalim, and that's not mutter only with shalosh sudos. You only right a matir lo el mazon shalosh sudos. And the second Mishnah is talking about a case where you did it with one kli, right? So there's not an extra tircha. There's only one kli. So let's just read the Gemara quickly. So Hana Trei Talmidei, Chad Matzil B'Chad Mana, one took it all out in one kli, B'Chad Matzil B'Arba B'Chamesh Mani, and one took it out, all this food out in 4 or 5 different kelim. He wasn't machmit to put everything into one kli. He wasn't machmit on the extra tircha. B'Kamif L'Gib B'Plukta the Rabba Barzav the Rav Huna. And their machlokas is the same machlokas that we're trying to discuss, we don't have enough time, on Daf Kuf Chaf, the machlokas the Rabba Barzav the Rav Huna, of how you can take out the food stuff from the house that fell down. Right, maybe we'll pick up there again from there tomorrow. We'll stop here. Have a good day.